Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:03 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 29th. I thought we'd kick off today with the Hang Seng Tech Index because it's being championed by the Communist Party as a way of looking at how successful China's technology sector has been. It's heavily weighted by Tencent, but it's got other companies in there like Meituan Dianping, which is a sort of a social media review site, and certainly something that you can get vouchers on and preferential treatment at restaurants. But then you've also got companies in there like Alibaba, because they've just listed in Hong Kong. And then we have the impending IPO of Ant Financial. When we think about Tencent, many people think of it as a games company, but the reality is it's got a very significant payments program, WeChat Pay, and that is really the growth and revenue driver for the company outside of gaming, and it's part of the reason why it's been able to just pop straight up and out of this range that's persisted now for 2 years. Then when we think about Alibaba, the listing in the US really does not include Alipay. So Ant Financial will be Alipay, and that's going to be a separate listing in both mainland China and Hong Kong. Now, Alibaba continues to extend its breakout. It's mild consolidation so far. One thing that we can certainly say is that when we look at some of these companies, whether they are the extremely large ones like Tencent and Alibaba or somewhat smaller like Meituan Dianping, they have continued to trend higher in a persistent manner. There is obviously a risk to being a highly successful technology company. In China, it's that there is a perception among government officials that you're not towing the party line. And when that occurs, either the CEO faces some sort of problem, personal or otherwise, and has to resign, or they go in and take direct control of the company. But the market share of the company is never really threatened. In fact, the size of the company is viewed as a strength in terms of crowd control and influencing consumers. But it's almost the opposite. In the USA, US companies have got a lot of autonomy, but then they do face occasional challenges from antitrust. So the CEOs of the primary tech companies were all testifying in here today. It's Jeff Bezos's first time in front of Congress. He was a bit stuttery, but it hasn't damaged the outlook for the share, although it has been pausing over the last while. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg is an old hand, really, at the job of facing politicians, and the share has continued to hold the breakout from what's been a 2-year range. It's worth reminding ourselves that this very big downward dynamic back in July of 2018 was Facebook's self-flagellation when they announced that they were going to deliberately cut back on profitability in order to hire a large number of what are effectively censors on its social media platform. And that is the kind of range that can form when antitrust measures are taken into effect. Now, Facebook was able to avoid overt regulation, but it held up the share for 2 years. Amazon is perhaps on the verge of having to make some sort of concession to antitrust, and then that is also likely to contribute to a ranging phase. It's worthwhile or worth remembering as well that Amazon is prone to these lengthy periods of ranging following these big moves on the upside. And, well, we've just had one of the big moves on the upside. So the logical conclusion is that we're a lot closer now to the next period of lengthy ranging. Well, the prospect of some of these companies having their wings clipped is positive for other companies. So, for example, Shopify was briefly at a new high in here today, but it wasn't quite able to hold on to it. Now, they have obviously got some challenges, not simply because of the valuation, but also because the spending habits of people have obviously been heavily dependent on the willingness of the federal government in the USA to continue to support incomes. There is a very clear fear among conservatives that creating conditions where people earn substantially more from not working than from working is a drag on their willingness to go out and find new work. And that makes sense, but it's also been one of the factors that has contributed to very significant strength in consumer demand. So if those sorts of efforts to support the consumer are removed, then it's probably going to weigh on some of these companies. That's true of Shopify. It's probably also true of Etsy, although Etsy was also in positive territory in here today. We also had Jay Powell speaking today, and the Federal Reserve is in a bind. They simply can't raise interest rates. It's not really a question. I thought one of the points that Ray Dalio made in the piece he wrote last week was particularly relevant, that if the Federal Reserve rose interest rates by 2% from zero to simply 2%, it would represent a $100 billion per annum increase in the debt servicing costs for the government. And that exceeds the entire budget for education. So when we start to think about the outlook for interest rates, there is virtually no possibility that they're going to raise interest rates. They're going to wait until inflation is well and truly established before they move the needle on raising interest rates. They simply haven't got a choice. And that obviously creates an inflationary threat. So on the one hand, we have got technology shares that continue to do well because of the quantity of liquidity that is being pumped into the market. In fact, the pace of M&A activity among or out there in the wider stock market is accelerating in the technology sector because they are flush with cash. It's also, of course, one of the reasons why they've become targets for antitrust, because they're flush with cash. And when governments have got big spending plans, well, they do start to look around at where they can raise capital. And obviously, when a company has got hundreds of billions of dollars sitting in cash, then they are logically going to become a target. But they're not going to raise interest rates. So the discount rate is likely to stay zero. It's likely to then continue to stimulate activity in growth markets because investors don't have a choice. When the 10-year government bond yield is at 56 basis points and 90% of all the bonds in the world have yields less than 1%, then the outlook for growth is being contained. The willingness of central banks and governments to spend money they don't have is greatly enhanced. The quantity of debt that is being created is extraordinary, and that is then contributing to continued strength in the stock market. The Nasdaq was up in here today. It's so far been contained below 11,000. Now, the index has paused at 11, at 10, at 9. So there is, and so far this range has been reasonably similar size to the one put in June. And as long as the low from last week holds, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside because this is still a staircase step sequence uptrend with one range above another. Then when we think about gold, well, gold prices were volatile yesterday and they eked out an additional advance in here today. Now, it is overbought in the short term, but the sharp reality is that with negative real interest rates and TIPS yields approaching negative 1%, then the significant attribute of gold as being a zero coupon bond with a perpetual maturity date is being bolstered. And there is the clear potential that we're going to see gold continue to do well. One of the more interesting charts I've been drawing attention to is the purchasing power parity adjusted price of gold. And it has obviously surged over the course of the last couple of weeks, and it is now up to approximately 254. That's an important level, because if we go back and think about the history of this price sequence, it's around 260 is where we've seen meaningful peaks before. We do have to look at the index on a price basis to highlight just how much of a surge we saw in the late 1970s and early 1980s. But the most important point is that as we push up through this level around 250, then these kinds of moves have never been sustained in the past. But the reality today is that we're in a very different environment, and there is the clear potential that with the quantity of debt that's outstanding, which inhibits the ability of central banks to raise interest rates, then it is creating an inflationary environment. And there is simply no way that governments are going to be able to increase interest rates aggressively to overcome that inflation, because they need to get it under control. When we have got such a large number of bonds that have got negative interest or negative yields, and that total is now up in excess of 15 trillion, well, then we have to start thinking about, well, what is likely to what's the likely result going to be? We've been in a fiat money environment now for most of the last 50 years. So the big question now is, with debt where it is, where the vast majority of governments have got massive quantities of debt, and where emerging markets are now engaged in quantitative easing, then what's the end game? Well, eventually we're probably going to move back into a hard money system. Now, then the question is, what would that look like? Is it going to go back to a gold standard? I think that's unlikely, simply because there just isn't enough of gold around. The price of gold would have to be multiples of where it is today, and it's just not going to be a viable construct in a digital economy. It's also unlikely to be oil, although perhaps oil would be a better standard, because it would give a greater power to some countries. But then it would also create significant problems, because a lot of the oil is concentrated in countries that don't have strong governance. China is developing a digital version of the renminbi. So then the question is, are they going to create an alternative to the debt-laden dollar system by free-floating the renminbi and backing it with the purchasing power of its entire economy on a digital basis, based upon a cryptocurrency of some shape or form? Well, it's a possibility out there in the future, but the reality is that so far China has been very unwilling to allow the currency to float, and they're holding it around the 7 level relative to the US dollar. But there is certainly nothing to stop it declining further against the euro, and the euro was at an additional new high in here today. When we then think about the pound, it's been ranging versus the euro for a lengthy period. It's still steadying from the lower side of its range, but when we look at the pound versus the renminbi, It's coming right up to the upper side of its range, and it cruised through the 9 level in here this week. So there is the potential here that we're going to see additional weakness coming through in the renminbi. That is likely to contribute to strength in the Asia dollar index, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. But it is worth highlighting that there are other currencies in Asia that are significantly stronger than the Chinese renminbi. So while we have the, I should correct myself, the weakness of the renminbi will be a headwind to the Asia dollar index. The strength of other Asian currencies is likely to be a tailwind, and I think that it will eventually overwhelm the weakness of the renminbi since everything is rebased into dollars and China is holding the value of the currency versus the dollar and letting it slide versus everything else. Well, that doesn't help to bolster the view of the renminbi as a reserve currency when they've basically pegged it to the US dollar. When we look at the Indian market, it is likely to be a beneficiary of the decoupling from China, but the market was in negative territory in here today. Reliance Industries is the biggest share in the index by a wide margin, and it has accelerated straight through the highs and way onto new all-time highs following significant investment from big international companies. But today was a significant downward dynamic. It's not the first time, and we had a very clear downward K-day reversal on July 15th with no follow-through. But these kinds of checking events where the momentum is checked just simply on a one-day basis, they are part of a softening up process generally. And if we see downside follow-through tomorrow, it will be a larger reaction than we've seen in a while too. And that might contribute to some wider consolidation on the Indian market generally. The Indian banks have also seen their non-performing loans increasing, and the banking sector has been holding its sequence of higher reaction lows since the end of May. So India is not quite yet out of the woods, but it is likely to be among the beneficiaries from the increasing willingness of a number of countries to stand up to the global dominance ambitions of China. Now, when we think about currencies, the Chinese, or excuse me, the Japanese yen has been really quite firm, and that is weighing on the stock market. So the Nikkei was in negative territory in here today. And we've definitely seen over the course of the last few years that when there have been periods of yen strength, then it has contributed to some pause of consolidation in the Japanese market. And it hasn't quite yet been able to push up and through the 24,000 point level. With the continued willingness of governments to print money, the potential for competition to continue to arise between China and the rest of the world, there is also the potential that there'll be competition to capture industrial resources to fuel economic growth and infrastructure development, and not least in preparation for a war effort. And that is helping to support copper prices, which continue to simply consolidate below the 300 cent level. Oil prices remain really quite well contained. They were in positive territory in here today. There is a mild upward bias to trading, but it's going to have to break out up and out of this range in a dynamic manner to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then Bitcoin prices have continued to extend the breakout and have so far held the move above the 10,000 level. It's the first time it's been able to do that since August of last year. And this does look like a better supported move. We've got a very well-defined range underneath it, and there is potential for additional upside as well. The potential for Ethereum 2.0 is also being priced in now, and it has continued to hold the move above the 300 level, and this is the upper side of the base formation. So the ability to hold the breakout is going to be very significant in terms of the upside potential over the medium term. The weakness today in Palladium was a bit of a standout, and it was on, I think it was following earnings from Norilsk Nickel. So that was a significant downward dynamic. The most important thing Palladium has done recently has been to break the downtrend, and as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. Platinum prices have paused around the $1,000 level, and it is looking like we're going to get some additional consolidation in this area. Both platinum and palladium generally tend to trade more like industrial resources than precious metals, so they have been somewhat more volatile. Silver prices were in positive territory just about, but we've had a lot of volatility. The range on the day yesterday was in the order of over $3, and that is the kind of move that is unsettling to investors. So we did have some choppy action in the last hour of trading today as well. But the most important thing that silver has done has been to break up and out of this lengthy base formation. And it does suggest that we are back in a new bull market, but we have not seen a first step above the base. We have already seen that with gold, but we haven't seen it yet with silver. We are likely to get a consolidation eventually, and when we do, it will be the next attractive buying opportunity. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.